Blog Talk Radio.
The First Epistle General of John. 1 John 1.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. Gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast. If you received this link on your cell phone, or if you went on the Facebook page and clicked on the link, or on the Twitter account, or on the email, I appreciate you and thank you for listening. Today, we're going to continue our conversation with Elder Mark and our daily devotion that we're doing. Again, we are doing we're in the midst of a 7-day devotional, but we've been doing 7 and 10-day devotionals and then connecting one to another. So if you're interested in joining with us, you send me a text or give me a call. Send me a text or send me a message on Facebook and we can send you the link when we start a new one. The one we're working on now is called You on Purpose. And this one is a 7-day, so right now today's the 20th, so we're into the third day of the devotional, so we'll be going for 4 more days, and then we'll start a new one. Also, on Thursdays, as a reminder, brothers, we gather together on a Zoom meeting and be able to discuss the devotional, check in prayer, encourage one another. So we also invite you to join us for that. So if you send me a text or, again, send me a message on the Facebook page, and we'll get the link to you in the Zoom information. You can join us on Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to start today. We're going to jump right in. And we are going to jump right in here with the devotion we're doing. Elder Mark, good morning. How are you?
I am blessed, my brother, blessed. Always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you. And good morning to you. Good morning to all you gentlemen.
Yes, sir. And for the brothers who called in, again, if you called in at 646-668-2636, if you press 1 on your keypad, we can bring you into the conversation, share your insights, thoughts, or any questions you might have as we're going to speak a little bit on in-depth dive into the devotional that we're working on again. Amen. So I'm going to start here. I'm going to jump to day 2 because day 2 stood out to me. So I'm going to start the conversation there. And in day 2, there's a part of the devotional that, hey, I want to read because I think it's something we talk about. Because we talk about being on purpose. First of all, it's being on purpose, knowing our purpose, that God created us for purpose. And the pursuit of knowing, first of all, is through knowing him, knowing Jesus Christ, and living a life obedient to him. And then through that and through the guiding of the Holy Spirit, we can be able to recognize and know our purpose. But one of the day 2 devotional, that why I wanted to jump in on this one, because it says, pursue purpose before happiness. Mm-hmm. Pursue purpose before happiness. And that stood out to me as something that I wanted to, give it the brothers thing and encourage the brothers there and talk a little bit about that. Because we all have heard it before, seeking to be happy. I want to be happy. I want to have happiness in my life and a lot. But, sometimes that pursuit of happiness, it's all circumstantial. That's something I've learned. That's something that I've taught before in a Bible study and heard and taught to me in a Bible study, that happiness, if we really look at what happiness means, it means that we are affected by outside circumstances, outside forces, and we seek that temporary happiness, but that it may not last, because if our circumstances change or our situations change, then all of a sudden we're not happy anymore. And that's not where we need to be when we really we strive to pursue, because when we try to pursue those temporary instant gratification, we'll tend to do a lot of things to try and be happy. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, in Christ and before we came to Christ, look at the things that we pursued to try to seek a happiness we felt we wanted, the things we wanted, where we wanted to be, what we wanted to do, who we wanted to be with. A lot of the things we thought we'd be happy, but once we really got them, and then had to actually, there's a difference between pursuing something and then catching it and having to live with it. And that's what we have to understand when we're talking about that happiness. That's what got to me. But let me read this section. I'm coming to you, Elder Mark, and see what you think. But I want to read this section of the devotional for the brothers out there. Let me start right here. Because also when we talk about pursuing happiness, it's about clarifying our goals and objectives. And the devotional says, clarifying your goals and objectives gives you an understanding of what you were made for, so you can move forward, move toward it, and eventually live with purpose. The secret of what people call happiness. When you pursue purpose first, it's more likely that you'll find satisfaction. A sense of purpose draws people outside themselves as they engage in activities that are captivating, energizing, and feels the opportunity to learn and grow. This leads to a greater well-being and a sense of personal satisfaction, a much deeper form of happiness. And I think that's what that's what stood out to me. It's the thing that we pursue. So if we really have goals and objectives in our lives and we just not live in life, because, you know, I used to share a lot with, you know, young brothers and let them know, you know, teenagers, 20-year-olds, in that age grade, you know, life is coming at you. So without goals and objectives and purposes, you know, you responding to life instead of pursuing a life that you want and where you want to be. And that's where goals and objectives comes in, that you're moving towards something instead of responding as life is getting thrown at you. Because I used to tell teenage brothers all the time, young guys, you know, coming out of high school, you know, life is coming. You go into adulthood and you're moving to manhood. Are you ready? Are you going to be ready? Or are you just going to just keep living day by day? Because that's a dangerous place to be, because now you're responding to your outside influences. You don't really have a goal and direction. Not that you may not be challenged or have to make adjustments, but if you know where you want to go, you can get there despite the obstacles that might come along. What do you say, brother?
I am in total agreement. I was just thinking of happiness. When we speak of it, it's just like any other emotion. Happiness, any other emotion, it's blind. And when I say emotion is blind, it's solely based on the predicament or the situation we're in. And when we can't see those things, we can't see those things from the right perspective or the right understanding, our happiness, it's like, have you ever asked a person how they're feeling? They say they're happy, and you're saying, you are happy about what? Well, I really don't know. I'm just happy. That happiness has no base. That happiness is just a position that says, I feel good right now, but what about when situation changes? Can you maintain that happiness? And that's what we get as we stand in a place, you know, in that when we have purpose, and when we're driven, when we have a desire, a drive, a goal, and we reach a place of fulfillment in that desire, in that goal, that is where we achieve happiness. But without that purpose, without that drive, without something to push us, without some search to empower us, to make us better, there is no happiness. It's just existence. For me, I think the greatest thing I get from walking in a Christian life is purpose, the purpose to live up to the call that God has placed on my life. And sometimes I may fall short. Sometimes I may not see the strength in myself, but I know as I depend upon God, that purpose within me will be fulfilled, and I can stand and be happy and really say, I am happy with what God has for me. My happiness comes, and in that happiness, I celebrate God. In that happiness, I even when situations are bad, I can still give God honor because I know that he's moving on my behalf. The purpose that drives me, the purpose that allows me to stand as a man, that calls me to stand as a role model with it for my family and for my friends and those around me, the purpose that calls me to walk upright, the purpose that calls me to live a repenting life, all of that purpose, when fulfilled, gives me happiness. But if I didn't have a purpose, how can I proclaim I'm happy in my existence when I've never fulfilled anything? I've never done anything that fulfills that desire within me. I've never done anything other than just exist, complain, or be stuck in my situation. But with purpose, I have a reason. I have something to drive for, which, of course, takes me to a point of happiness. And in that happiness, I'm able to share everything that God has, share the blessings that God bestowed upon me so I can be a blessing for somebody else. And recognize that true is part of my purpose, to share the love that God is. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. And then for us as Christian men, too, you got to understand it. Our pursuit of God, our pursuit of the knowledge of God, you know, it's about who we are in Christ Jesus. As men of God, what are we called to do? We're called to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And what does that mean? That means first of all, we come to faith, salvation from the wrath of God, salvation for the wrath that's about to come at Christ's return. So our purpose, our most greatest purpose as Christian men, should be the pursuit of God and the knowledge of him, knowing who he is, knowing what we believe, why we believe, what God has for us. Because, again, I want to, you know, it's something we have to understand that the things that we do, there's a purpose that God has for us. We could have a lot of talents and skills and a vocation and our job. Those our jobs, our careers, whatever that is, we should find enjoyment in those things. But also our ultimate enjoyment should be seek to enjoy him forever, and that's the salvation. So when we talk about making the goal to the enjoyment of God. And I know that sounds deep or may sound super spiritual to some brothers out there, but just think about it. Think about it. Are we pursuing to live a life that we will hear Jesus say, well done, my good and faithful servant, and spend eternity? And I think we have to understand this Christian walk and this Christian faith is not all about how we live on this earth. We have a purpose and a plan here that God was going to use us, and what he's going to use us for as the church is to reach others, to show the love of God to a culture, to a lost and dying culture, to be able to spread the gospel, all those things. But yet, our ultimate pursuit and purpose is to know that we're going to spend eternity with God in heaven. And that's only through faith in Jesus Christ and our obedience as we walk this walk. Because again, you know, as between us and brothers who don't believe, you know, we have the same struggles. I always say that, you know, we have more in common than we are different with the unbeliever, but yet we respond and we deal with the tests and trials and the things that life comes at us a whole lot different because we have a hope. And that's what we have to remember, that we have a hope. So we again, this is what we have to be able to focus on. We're living lives to glorify God, that we may enjoy him forever and spend eternity with him. Because these years here, even if you live to be the oldest living guy at 100 and whatever, eternity is still much longer than that. And we have to be in that mindset as Christian men that our hope is in eternity with God in his presence. Amen? So I just wanted to encourage mm-hmm. that in what we talk about when we speak. Because, again, we have to take time out and be able to pray and meditate on what the Word of God says, meditate on what it means to be a Christian, to be a follower of Christ, to be a disciple of his, you know, and living this life out. And that's where we have an opportunity when we talk about meditating on it and really meditating on the Word of God, being able to hear from the Holy Spirit in prayer and be encouraged one to another, even no matter what we may be going through, that we're going to have unhappy times. but we're never going to be hopeless in anything that we go through. Amen. Real quick, I want to go to one of the scriptures here for this devotional. It's going to be Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, and it says, "Beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service." And that's about us submitting to what God wants us to do. We're going to be sanctified and holy and used by him. So I just want to encourage the brothers out there, and that's the, you know, this is like, what is this, is day two of the devotion. Anything you want to add, brother?
Yes, sir. I was just, I was just sticking in that place of being holy, living and holy sacrifice. That kind he will find acceptable. And I'm sorry, I was looking at the New Living Translation. I just think about the sacrifice, you know, and just our call to just be different than what the world says. And, you know, sometimes when we talk about our happiness, we're looking for our happiness in the wrong place. We are really looking for our happiness in something that is not made for us, made to satisfy us. God didn't create the world for us to be satisfied. He created the world for us to have a place to praise him, to have an existence in which we would ultimately praise him in everything that we do. But the world, flesh, has has put us in a place where we're not consistently living as that sacrifice. We're caught up in so many other things, and we wonder, where is our happiness? What is it that we should have? And if we're living the way we should, if we're following the commands of God, if we're living to have a real relationship, to continually have an encounter with God, we're continually searching for a connection to God. We're continually looking to find a better way to serve God, another way to just get more of God. Like, that's my sacrifice. I don't want anything of me to exist. I want it to be all of God in me. And that pursuit is what gives me happiness, because I know that even when I don't fit into the way of the world, when I don't fit in and things don't feel right, I know that I'm doing the right things, that I can stand in my happiness because I'm serving God. I'm doing what God called me to do. That's a part of the living sacrifice. Every day it's going to hurt. Every day you got to give up something. This flesh desires are not of God. We've got to be able to give up that. We got to be able to sacrifice ourselves to serve God. And from there, our happiness comes. That pursuit to serve God will give us the happiness we desire. Back to you, sir. Sorry for offering tangent there.
No. You're right, because that's what it is, that obedience, that love of God and his commandments and abiding in him. Because true love is sacrificial. True love is sacrificial. If we think about it, as husbands, We're called to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And what did Jesus do for the church? He gave his life for the church that we might live. And that's what we ought to do as fathers. The sacrifice we make for our children, as we're raising them, discipling, mentoring them, and growing up and providing for them, there's sacrifices that you make. You cannot be a husband and a father and be selfish. It's not going to work out. But these are the sacrifices. This is all God wants for us. And also, when it comes to the things of God in our life and what he's called us to be as the church, you know, as a community of believers, and individually, what is the purpose God created you for? Because, you know, we say this a lot, and I want to make sure the brothers out there listening and have heard this, and share it with another brother that you know may be struggling. That God created you, and you wasn't created by a mistake, and the choices that you made, you know, you never know. The things that we go through, or what a brother's been through, it can be for the purposes of God, because he can use that. He can use the testimony. He can use what you've been through and what you survived. You know, we talked about this on the previous episode that, you know, some of us, we have lived through some things that would have killed another man. But that fact that we're still here, and that God still has a purpose for us, and then the fact that we're in the body of Christ, even after all the things we've done, and now we believe. So those sins are forgiven, but yet those experiences and those lessons we learned are valuable in the body of Christ, because we never know how our past can be used to reach someone for their future. And that's where we have to look at it and not get, you know, and not be discouraged in what's going on with us, because we can always be able to encourage someone who's going through something we already been through. And that's what we call when we talk about being disciples and mentors and brothers in Christ. And when we talk, you know, the scriptures we use sometimes for iron sharpens irons that we turn into cliches, but that's what it's really about. I'm strong, and I'm iron, and I can sharpen my brother because I've survived some things that he may be going through. Or I can give counsel to him that where the directions and choices he's making, where they may lead, he may not survive. But that's, again, this is what we talk about when we talk here. It's Christian men talk about men's and fellowshipping and looking out for one another, praying for one another, and encouraging one another. And we have to get to a level of a relationship of transparency, because you have to have someone you can be confident in and be your confidant and be in that presence so that we can walk this thing together. Amen. 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 I'm going to take number three. We're gonna keep pressing. I'm gonna go to day number three here, and it talks about discovering who you are in day number three. And let me read this part real quick, and then I'm gonna come to you, brother. It says, seeking Jesus and the Holy Spirit leads to discovering our true selves as He removes the lies and reveals the truth of who we are and how we are made. It begins with prayer, asking, and meditation, listening. In prayer, asking how you were put together and who you are called to be. Then listening to the Holy Spirit in you. Choices and the mistakes we made in our past. We might have been that then, but we're not that now. Because if we're in the body of Christ, we're a new creature. The Word of God says we're a new creature and all things have passed away. But now we're seeking God and pursuing Him. And again, in prayer, we're asking God, show me, God, what should I do? Show me, God, which way should I go? And now in our meditation, God is going to answer. He's going to answer through people. He's going to answer through His Word. And He's going to answer through the Spirit and in our conscience and to make the right choices moving forward, to be and become who we really truly wants us to be. And some of that is who we connect with, who's in our circle of influence is going to encourage us along, and never know where opportunities and opportunities are going to come from by where we are, because we're in one place and we're not in another place. Amen? Let me say it like that.
Amen.
Brother Mark, what do you say, sir?
Amen. I really like this one. Is day three. It asks, who were you made to be? And that's what we're here to discover. That's what we're here to figure out. Who were you made to be? God has, we've been through situations that we've chosen, that we walked ourselves into. We've been in situations that the enemy has walked us into, that we've trapped, we've fallen through them through temptation. All of these things that to who we are lessons that build us up to who we're called to be, things that we'll go through that's going to shape and mold us. And God knows us. He knows our beginning from our end from our beginning. There's nothing about us that God doesn't know. There's no aspect of our life that God doesn't know. But we have to discover who we are in God. We have to understand who we are in God to recognize the strength that's in us, so that when situations do come up, we know the resources that we have. We know what's inside of us so that we can push through to give God the glory that He deserves, because without Him, we wouldn't make it through. That's part of discovering who we are, recognizing the God in us. Without that, without the God, without God being with us, without God in our lives, we wouldn't make it through. We wouldn't have purpose. We wouldn't have happiness with a relationship with God. And understanding who we are is, for lack of a term, a byproduct of a relationship with God. Because is defined of who he purposed us to be. When we have that relationship, revelation, through revelation, we understand the call in our life, why we look a certain way, why we act a certain way, why we talk a certain way. I mean, it could be as much as the glasses that you wear could be what shapes a discussion that changes someone else's life. The way you stand or the way you approach a situation, the way you talk, the way you interact, anything about you, unique to you, could have shaped a decision for someone else or shaped a situation that involves someone else. And because you live in that purpose, that situation is shaped and a life is changed, part of God's plan. But if we don't fulfill, if we don't find out who we are and find out the call upon our lives, then what if we miss that opportunity to share or do that one thing that's going to change a life that could affect millions? We have to understand that no matter who we were, God still gets the glory out of who he wants us to be. And that transition sometimes is the very thing that allows people to come into the fold or come into relationship with us, that they can then see the glory of God in our lives, because it may have been the person that watched you go through these situations. It could be the person that you used to be drinking with. It could be the person you used to be getting high with. It could be the person who was yourself locked up. You don't know. But when God moves on your life and your purpose is fulfilled, when you understand who you are in God and your life starts to change, those around you will see that change and want a relationship with the God that's changing your life. So our purpose comes when we recognize who we are. Our happiness comes when we pursue that purpose. And that purpose comes in our service to God. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. Amen. Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farber here with Elder Mark. And, again, we're talking about purpose. We're talking about how we're going through a couple of days here of our this is a five-day devotional. You on purpose. We're doing a devotion out of Bible. It's Bible.com. Again, if you receive this episode on your phone, or if you hit the link on the Facebook page at Issues Christian Men's Talk, inbox us, text me back. I can send you the link for the devotion that we're in now or the next one we'll be doing. Today is Saturday. Let me share that. On Saturday mornings at 9 a.m., we are live in a discussion, and you can call in at 646-668-2636 and join the conversation. You press 1 on your keypad. You can to share your insights, wisdom, or ask a question. So we encourage you to reach out for that. We're every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Amen. And on Thursdays at 8 p.m., we get together to Zoom to also continue to discuss and encourage and pray with one another over the devotional or anything else, any other questions, any other topics you want to discuss with the brothers that you might want to hash out, or issues or challenges you may be going through. Amen? Because that's what we're called to do. We're called to encourage one another. We're called to strengthen each other. And we're called to continue to press in and help each other walk through. Amen? So I'm going to give you one scripture for day number three that we're on. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. And the word says, God has united you with Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God, and he made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. And that's what we have to know, that who we are in him. You know, he made him wisdom for us. He redeemed us and reconciled us back to God. And now, that through that, God is going to make us holy and pure and free from sin, that we can live a life that's enjoyable to him, to learn to enjoy him, because we're in right standing. So we can walk with God. We submit ourselves unto God. We're obedient to his word. We're living a life walking in the spirit, not in the flesh, making fleshly choices. And one thing I do want to encourage and point out here, that us as men of God, still on this earth, living this life, that we are not controlled or influenced by this world. It's the Spirit of God living within us, and we're walking in the Spirit in all areas of our life. And that's what we have to be as men, as fathers, husbands, and sons, that we're submitted to the Word of God, we're submitted to His Spirit, and that's how that sets the chalk line or the chalk line for our lives and where we're going and who we are in Christ, and identifies us. So our purpose, brothers, should be to know more of Him, to draw closer to Him in this life, and to encourage, and also, again, to build a community, a circle of influence of brothers who's around us, a church family that'll keep us. Remember, the church is, the purpose of the church is just not, I don't want to say this. It's just not something we do out of habit. It should be a collection of like-minded people, like-minded brothers who come together to encourage one another and also influence the world. And by doing that, as we come together and we show love one to another, and then the world sees that and wants to be part of it and understand it, and then we have an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Because who we are is because of Him, not of our own self. You know, we have a lot of things out there that try and tell us that, you know, I say it like this, that it's outward behavior. It's behavior modification on the external. But for us as a Christian, as men of God, the change is internal, and then it'll show itself external on how we love one another, how we love our families, how we serve the community, how we serve one another. So that's the thing I want to do, because there's a lot of things and programs we can get hooked up with that'll make external changes in your life, but you're still rotten on the inside. Amen. I believe Jesus called out the Pharisees about being whitewashed tombstones or gravestones. Because they looked pretty on the outside, but they were full of dead things, dead, decaying things. And that's not where we are as men of God. On the inside, we have a living God on the inside, and His Spirit is on the inside. And as we submit to that and grow, the outside will be transformed. Amen?
Amen.
Amen, amen. Let me see here. We got a couple of brothers called in. Again, if you want to share anything or have a question, just press 1 on your keypad. You can join us. All right, Elder Mark, I'm going to do a backtrack real quick. Let's go back to day one.
Amen, amen.
We're going to jump backwards for 1 minute. We're going to jump backwards here because since I don't want to get too far ahead because I want the brothers to join in with us and finish the rest the other 2 days with us for tomorrow and Monday. But let's jump back to day one real quick. And it talks about believe you have a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to believe God has created a unique plan for each one of us, a calling, a purpose, a vocation. And He wants us to find it. And I think that's one of the things. As men of God, you know, when we come to faith, you know, I think what it is, too, that we all have a passion, something inside us we have a passion for. And once we come to faith, God wants to use what's already in us to be a service to others and prepare us to be able to be a service to others. Because whatever our passion is, you know, we have a passion for a lot of things. Because we all are made for a certain passion, but now are we going to use it to advance His kingdom? That God can use it. Again, the ultimate for us to do is to serve Him right where He wants us. Because the Bible talks about being part of the body and being a part of the body and having a function and a purpose. But we have to recognize that God has made us with a purpose. We're not, again, brothers, we're just not created just for cause. There's a purpose God wants to use us for. And I want to say this. I'm coming to you, Elder. But you have to also understand, if you look out here in the world and you see a lot of people doing a lot of things, or have a certain skill set or a talent, and they're using it for selfish gain. They're using it for monetary gain. They're using it for a lot of things. But just imagine if that thing was, what can I say, if they were using that talent and ability for the glory of God and to advance His kingdom, to help, truly help people that they might see the glory of God and understand it. Because it could be a lot of things. I mean, it doesn't have to be. It's not all about the ministry. It's about what you can do, even if you're a financial whiz or whatever you are, but then you're using it not for selfish gain to build bigger bonds and collect a bunch of stuff and say, look at all of what I've got. But if I'm using it and then using it to advance the kingdom, to get the gospel out, to share the gospel with others, to reach the lost and the needy, the widows and the orphans. Instead of we're building bigger barns so we can fill it up with more stuff, to say that we got the most stuff. Amen. What do you say, brother?
Amen. Amen. I really when I saw day one, I was hoping you were gonna go back to this one. Romans 11:29 says, "For God's gifts and His call can never be withdrawn." So God has placed stuff in us. Some things we're not even aware of. We don't have an understanding of yet in our lives, even as adults, even as people who have been walking in a Christian walk for years, still don't know the extent of the call on their lives. Sometimes because we have no desire to understand it because we're worried about the commitment that it calls for. Sometimes we have been through situations and the enemy has put in our mind that we don't amount to anything, so we decided that, you know, it's not worth it to even pursue or to understand what part we play or to understand the gifts, because we don't see them as gifts because it's not what we want to pursue. When someone has told us when you're young, you know, you're going to be in ministry, oh, no, not me. That's not what I want. But in any case, as God's gifts are upon us, they're never withdrawn. God's purpose for your life, regardless to where you've been, what you've seen, what you've done, what you've committed, God's purpose and His call is still God's purpose and His call on your life. There may have been bumps in the roads. There may have been speed bumps. There may have been, literal walls, literal stop signs that you had to stop, that things just did not progress. Literally, you had to back up and start all over again. But God's purpose will be fulfilled in your life. God is not a man that He would lie, and anything that He has put upon you or put in you will be used for His glory at some point. No matter what the enemy meant for bad, God can turn it around for good and does turn it around for His good and for ours. That's in Romans 8. But what we have to recognize is that our purpose, the strength, everything that's in us, the drive, when we stand up to use that for the glory of God, there's no stopping us. The hindrances to our purpose and to our lives are the enemy within us, the us telling us that it can't happen, the us telling us that that's not what we're supposed to do, the us that just doesn't want to commit or submit. We have to understand and recognize God's doing so much in our lives. He has a purpose in our lives. And, yeah, I understand, my brothers, it's hard to see when you don't have the things that you need, when bills are hard, when bills aren't being paid, when your kids are acting crazy, when your relationship is every which way but up, when divorce is on the table, when work is an issue, when all those things are going crazy. The only thing that we have to stand on is the strength that God gave us to recognize He's going to move on it. But if we've committed to our mind that we're already defeated, that we have no purpose, then that's what we'll walk in, an uneventful, unpurposeful life. We won't see fulfillment. We won't see happiness. But when we stand and say, I know what God has called me to do, I know God, even if I don't understand all that God has called me to do, I'm going to move toward the mark that He's called me to. I'm going to continue to work toward what God has put in me, work and use what God has put in me. If you're a singer, sing His praises. If you can't sing, don't worry about it, but there's something else God put in you to do. I know full well music is not my thing. Me and rhythm just don't get along. But I can build anything you ask me to. I know the gifts that God has placed in me, and my desire is to always use them to benefit His kingdom and His people. And if that is your desire, and that's the place where you walk in, then your happiness will continue to grow. You'll continue to be happy in everything that you do because your purpose is fulfilled. Our unhappiness comes because we feel like we don't fulfill the purpose. We don't fulfill the purpose because we don't know the purpose. We don't know the purpose because we don't have a relationship with God. Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen. And brothers, and the other thing, too, we have to consider in all this, that God is big. God is bigger than you. God is bigger than me. God is bigger than all of us. And God sees the beginning and the end. You know, one of the things I've learned for myself is, you know, there's different seasons in your life where God's going to give you an assignment, a mission, or a purpose for seasons of your life. If you live long enough, you know, sometimes we think about people, you know, we celebrate folks who've been on the same job for 30 years, and then 30 years or 40 years on the job and reach retirement. But in God can have different things for you in different seasons and circumstances of your life. He can shift you and move you. And as you continue to live this life every day in obedience to Him, growing in the grace and knowledge of Him, your purpose may change. That thing that God wants you to accomplish may change. It may be different from your 20s to your 30s to your 40s, and praise God, to your 50s and 60s. But as long as you're on this earth, you have to be in a place where you're hearing from God, and every day you're listening and you're seeking obedience, and you're in that place. I want to share something from the devotional here. It talks about your calling. It says your calling won't be revealed to you in one flash of insight. It will unfold as you take repeated steps in the right direction. If you're willing to do the work, have confidence, when you pursue God's good purpose for your life, you'll find it. Step out on this journey with honesty, courage, openness, and courtesy. Prepare your heart to listen, then be ready to respond. And that's the thing that I got out of that it can change. You know, we talked to Elder, you talked about being a singer. But never necessarily means you could be a well-versed, accomplished singer, but then God's got something else for you. You could have a wonderful voice, but then God wants to use you in another place. And then you have to be able to hear that, because then you refuse to stop being on the praise team or refuse to stop, you know, this is my call. I want to be a musician. I'm not going to do nothing else. I'm not going to this. I'm not. But God has another plan for you, where He wants to also use. That's the other thing we have to be when we're talking about purpose and giftings and talents. We have to be submitted unto the will of God. Because remember, it's through the Holy Spirit. He can use anybody and anything for a given circumstance. And that's the other thing we have to do as men of God. Because, again, if we look at our lives, husbands, fathers, the woman you married is not going to be the same woman that you're going to end up with in 10, 15, 20, 25 years. You're going to have to change. There's different seasons of marriage. Our children, by raising our children from 1 to 10, 10 to 15, 15 to 20, I broke those last ones down because the teenage years can be a test. But then your child, you have to be, you'll be a different father at different seasons in their life. So it's the same thing when we talk about gifts and talents and callings and purposes. God is in control. I think if we remember that, we seek Him, we see where He's guiding our steps, because the Word says the Lord is the light to my feet, a guide in my steps. I'm sorry, I paraphrased that whole scripture. But what the scripture says about the path that a man walks, then we have to be prepared to go down the path God sends us. You know, I like to read missionary journeys of Paul. You know, God, the Holy Spirit let Paul do a lot of things to go out here to spread the gospel that were way off of where he started and who he was. For those of you who don't know, Paul started off, he was an assassin. He was an assassin for the Sadducees. He went out, he was trying to shut Christianity down, and then God used him in different places, in different cities and towns. Again, when you read the scriptures, the letters that Paul wrote, those are all cities that he went to and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he had to write them letters to encourage, correct, and guide them moving forward as they grew in the grace and knowledge of God, as they stood before persecution and temptation and all the other things. When we read those letters that Paul wrote, how God used them for where he started to where he ended up, and yet still ended up being executed for his faith in Jesus Christ and for the things he did. So, brothers, this is where we have to be, are we going to be obedient to God and be in that place that we know our purpose? And like I said, recognize that there's different seasons. There's going to be different purposes for different seasons of our life. And are we, again, brothers, are we growing in the grace and knowledge of God that we're prepared for those things, so when we hear his voice speak to us, we're ready to respond? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Elder, go ahead. Go ahead, sir. You got it.
I just wanted to ask a question of you and pose the question to the gentleman that's on the line. As we grow and we're trying to better understand our purpose, and this is really, I have to rephrase, this is actually a question, just a statement. As we grow, we try to understand our purpose. Just like you said, Deke, every day we're going to see different things, and it's going to shape us different ways, and God continues to use us. And the purpose, God's purpose for us grows and changes. There's things about us that will, new relationships that happen, and as God's plan is, God has a plan where we're going to fulfill a purpose. But like you said, there's more that's added as we go along, just in our interaction, choices that we made that may have looked like a hindrance, but God was able to turn that around. God uses all things, just like Romans 8 tells us, all things work for the good of those that love God. So no matter what the situation, no matter how far away from our purpose we walk, God can still pull us back in and use it for the benefit, for his benefit, and for the good of us. I say that to say to everyone on the line, I know I messed up so many things in my own life because of my choices. I know many of us have walked down paths, and many of us are in a place where we say there's no way that God can use me after this. There's no way that God can bless me after this. Let me tell you something. There's nothing that you can do, absolutely nothing that you could have done, that stops God from loving you the way he did from the very first day, from the very first day of existence. God has loved us all the same way from the very first day of existence. Not our existence, existence, period. So with that being said, if there's nothing that can take you away from it, nothing that you've done, nothing that can take you out of God's love, there's nothing that can take you out of the purpose, of out of the ability of God to fulfill you, for you to fulfill that purpose. There's nothing that can take you out of that place except for us when we choose not to walk in it. So I tell you, brothers, from this day forward, choose your purpose. Choose what God has for you. Don't be swayed and convinced that you're not what God says you are because of what the world says you aren't. Start telling the world how big your God is and stop telling God how big the problems of the world are. The purpose in you is more than you could ever imagine if you tap into the total resource that you have available. The minute you are fully dependent upon God, in all and everything, the minute we, because we all are still working to get there, to be fully dependent. The time when we reach that full dependence is when we see God's hand moves in everything without issue, without thought. There's nothing that can convince you that God is not moving. When you reach that place, that fulfillment of purpose, that happiness. But in that drive, my brothers, just lean on God and know that nothing that you did in your past can hinder you from growing in God if you choose to find your purpose in him. Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen. And, you know, it's again, brothers, we just wanted to encourage you here. Issues Christian Men's Talk, again, we're here every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. You can join us live by calling in. At 6, oh my goodness, I just lost it. Oh, 646-668-2636. You can join us, call in live, press 1 on your keypad if you want to join us, ask a question, make a statement, or have a comment. Also, you know, for all the brothers that have called in this morning, I appreciate you. We see you there on the switchboard. We appreciate you taking time out and spending this time with us, and hopefully something was said that would encourage you. And as we begin, we winding it down to close here, but I just wanted to say something. There's something we have to do as men of God. We have to stay focused on Him and our faith in Him. And know that, like Elder Mark was saying, there's nothing that we can do that will separate us from His love for what He has already done for us as men of God. If right now, if you in faith, if you believe Christ, if you believe Christ for your salvation, I pray that you believe Him for your future. One of the things I want to read here from the devotional before we get ready to close out, it says here, it says right now, how are you feeling about your future? Are you optimistic and hopeful or feeling anxious and fearful? Because there could be something going on right now, brother, that you're not sure. It could be a job. It could be finances. It could be your relationships. It could be your children. It could be a lot of things that you may be a little anxious about. You may be fearful. Don't know how it's going to turn out. Trust me. I know what you're dealing with. I've been there, done that. And I don't know what's good around the corner. May be back there again. Because a lot of things can happen to us. We got health issues. We have family members. If some of us out there, we have seniors in our lives. So things can take a turn at any moment. But yet, we know who God is and that He is in control. So we have to be honest with ourselves where we are right now and be able to start the process of pursuing our purpose and knowing who God has it for us. Because, again, life can turn. But as long as we're rooted and grounded and understand who we are in Christ Jesus as men of God, sons of the living God, and joint heirs with Christ in all things, and we know that we have a hope that we have a hope that sustains us way past this world. So, brothers, I just want to encourage you, no matter what it is, not to give up in prayer. Who's in your circle? Who can you lean on? Who can you seek for encouragement? And stay close to God, that God can speak to you and help us through all the challenges that we're going to face as men. Again, we have more things in common than we are different. And as men of God, as husbands and fathers and sons, this is what the call, and this is who we were made to be. We just have to trust God that He's going to guide and direct us and get us through and help us to endure. It's not all. Sometimes it's not about delivering us. It's about walking with us. As Jesus said, I will be with you always. So He's with us through the test and the trials. I just want to encourage the brothers out there for that. That don't think you may not be delivered, but God is with you, going to take you through the other side. Amen. Elder, I'm going to come to you, brother. You can you have the closing statement, and you can close us out in prayer. And again, I appreciate you for taking time out and joining us this morning and sharing with the brothers. And also, brother, I want to thank you. You were the initiator, the man who brought this thing to fruition to start the devotional and the brothers we're connected with. So I appreciate you for that, and be encouraged, and we're going to keep pressing all the way through.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. To you, my brothers, and to you, Deacon Fall, I just appreciate you, my brother, for standing beside me, standing with me, serving with me. It's been an honor to serve beside you in this capacity. It's truly been a blessing to have another man of God that's just keeping me prayed up. So I honor you. I thank God for you. I appreciate you. And to all the brothers on the line, I just want to share this with you. When you think about finding your purpose, we mentioned just about understanding what's going on now and being in the present. And I just want to share this with you. If you think too much in the past, you become overcome with doubt because you doubt decisions that you already made. If you think too much in the future, you start to become anxious and you're dealing with anxiety. But if you rest and enjoy the gifts of the present, you can see the blessings that God has for you in the midst of everything going on. So I just encourage you, searching for your purpose, understand where you are now. Ask God where He wants to take you and enjoy where He has you right now, because these are the changes that you can affect. You can't affect change for the future until you get there. So you got to deal with today. You can't change what happened in the past. So you can only deal with it today. So, my brothers, I just encourage you, as your prayers are lifted, as we continue to pray for you, as we continue to pray for one another, just understand what God has for you today, I want you to experience so you can see who he is right now, so you're prepared for the battles of tomorrow. Understand, my brothers, you are blessed, made with purpose, created to be exemplified, to be honored, to walk upright, to stand as different than what the world says you are. You are men of God, and I admonish you, I encourage you, and I'm honored to just call you brothers, and I pray that you continue to see the blessing God has for you. Father God, we honor you and bless you, Lord God. We thank you for another opportunity to celebrate you, to honor you, Lord God. Give us the strength to see, Lord God, that as we stand with you, Lord God, as we stand in you, Lord God, you continue to strengthen us. You continue to show us our purpose, to continue to give us a greater understanding of you and thus of ourselves. Father, we honor you, we bless you, we praise you, and we thank you for another opportunity to stand before you. Continue your protection of us, Lord God, around us, and we continue, Lord God, to walk with you, to praise you, and to love your holy, magnificent name. We thank you, Father God, for all that you have for us, all that you do in and through us, as we praise your holy, magnificent name, praying to your Son. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen, brother. God bless you.
God bless.
Created in me a clean heart and purify me, purify me. Create.